Okay, we're both psyched. Okay, the Mechaber says in Sif Yud Aleph, one ha'ora about last time, we mentioned briefly the fact that in the old days the main minhag for how to wash the meat was by soaking it in a bucket of water. Nowadays the minhag is that for the Hadach Achrona afterwards they just wash it under the faucet well 3 times, unlike the Hadach Rishona, which of course involves a bucket of water because you have to soak it for 30 minutes. So soaking for 30 minutes only works in a bucket of water, but the Hadach Achrona, even though in their days they would put in buckets of water, it sounds like from the Ramah, nowadays we use the faucet for that. Okay, Yud Aleph. Basar shenisfasho below melicha. What if? Sarach sheva tavshel shishim keneged oso basar v'oz mutter ha-kol. If you accidentally cook your meat without melicha, the meat is full of dam. And the meat is full of dam. And therefore, you need to have shishim in the whole pot to mivatel a whole piece of meat. If the whole pot is only 59 times this piece of meat, then it's all treif. If the whole pot is 60 times the meat, then it's all kosher. Why do we measure against the whole piece of meat and not just against the dam and the meat?
Is that only according to Ashkenazim?
No, everyone. Why do we measure against the whole piece of meat and not only the dam and the meat? Because you don't know how much dam is in, right? Even mind you, nothing may loyal enon. The rabbi actually holds you do measure, you just estimate, but it's a das yachid. Right, since you don't know how to measure against the dam and the meat, you just measure against the meat. There's nothing to do with Hanan, because nothing to do with Hanan. It's just because you don't know how much dam is in the meat. So you measure against the whole meat. What's the chiddush of the Mechaber here? The only chiddush of the Mechaber here, I think, is the last word. Obviously, the rest of it is obvious. If you have only 59 or 58 times as much of the meat, it's all treif, because the dam gives a taste to the whole pot. If you have 60 times, then the whole soup is kosher. The only chiddush of the last word, hakol, what's the chiddush of the Mechaber, that if there's 60 to be mivatel the meat, that even the piece of meat is kosher. Not only is the rest of the soup kosher, which is sort of obvious, even that piece of meat itself is kosher. And that's what the Ramah argues on. This is, you know, it's two yesh omrims in the Torah, which is really two yesh omrims in the Rush. It's an early machlok shonim. The yesh osrim, the Ramah says, osa chaticha. Some people say, afil b'deika shishim neged achaticha, ve'hachti, before we get to Pesach, says, the second yesh omrim, though, says that that chaticha is usher even if there is shishim. That chaticha is usher either way. So let's just think for a second about these svaras here. If ein shishim neged habasar, everything's usher. That's pretty pashut. Yesh shishim neged habasar, the tavshil is mutter, but the basar, the Mechaber says, is mutter, but the Ramah quotes Yesh Omrim that the basar stays usser even though there's bittul b'shishim. Why should the basar stay usser even though it's bittul b'shishim? I think that at first glance, the Ramah's theory seems to make sense. Why should the meat stay usser even though it was bittul b'shishim? Because the dam is, right, that's what the, you know, we actually won't even go into these details of the Taz and Sevkatan Chavches. As to why the dam doesn't come out right away, but I'll be pashtus, either because it's an Isher Dovah, he says, or because, you know, just that dam starts out in that Chaticha. So that dam, clearly, it makes sense to us that the dam, even if it's all the Shisha, more dam should get nispashal into the Chaticha itself. And it doesn't all necessarily leave the Chaticha. So that's the Svara of the Yesh Omrim, that it's Aser. What's the Svara? Svara is that maybe a lot of dam stayed in the Chaticha, right? Like Isser Dovuk. Right, who says all the dam left the chaticha and went out as a batul shishim? No, since the dam started out in that chaticha, maybe a lot of dam stayed in that chaticha, so that chaticha might have more than a 60th dam. So that's the svara of the
dam.
That's the svara of the Ramba.
We assume that's dam shapirish.
So what is it? So the svara is, let's take a look. It's dam shapirish
Mimakom lemakom betoch hachaticha.
What's the Rama telling us here? That, now think about it. Whatever dam left the piece of meat was nisbatel b'shishim. It's only the dam that moves around within the piece of meat, right? It moves, it stayed in the chaticha, but it moved within the chaticha. So that dam moved from place to place within the chaticha. That's called dam ha'ivarin. Shit. Pirish v'makom l'makom. Does anyone want to prove to me that if it just moves from place to place within the meat, that still counts as pirish and it's aser? What case? Was the case where it just moved within the meat?
Black
the black and blue mark. Remember the black and blue mark? The dam just moved within one part of the meat to the other part of the meat and became a black and blue mark, and yet that's aser. That's considered pirish. So pirish v'makom l'makom is considered pirish. That's the shita of the Ramah. The question is, what's the svar of the Mechaber? Right, if the Ramah has a proof, the proof is from the Dam Shenitzra, that even if Dam isn't pirish outside the meat, it's just pirish from one half of the meat to the other half of the meat, from one layer of meat to the next layer of meat. That's something to do with Dam Shepirish and its trace. So why does the Mechaber say that piece of meat is mutter? So this is a machlokes between the Shach and the Taz. The Taz here in Sukkot and Chav Zayin is one day, and the Prima Godim, Al Atar, quotes the Shach was a different Hezver. Anyone want to, what's the Svar of the Mechaber?
Not argue on that last statement. Dam Shepirish and Machum Tachich is mutter.
Ah, so one shot is that the Shach says that this machlokes in the Mechaber, the Mechaber holds Dam Shepirish mi makom. Lemakom is mutter. Ah, it can't be, because we know that the animal gets a black and blue mark, or if you have, you know, you break the mafrekis and all the blood starts moving and stop, that we know that dam shepirish makom lemakom is aser. So what might the shita of the Mechaber be? He might say this case is different than that case, because it's la'acharisa. Maybe the machlokas Ramah and Mechaber here about dam that moves from one part of the chaticha to another part of the chaticha, la'acharisa. That's the shach holds, and we'll see throughout the Hilchos Malicha, the few Mechaber Ramahs b'shitas, it actually works out pretty well. So maybe that's the machlokas Ramah holds that the dam just moves around within the chaticha, and if it moves around within the chaticha, then that's aser, it's pirish makom l'makom. Well, the Mechaber says, no, pirish makom l'makom is only a problem. Pirish makom l'makom is only a problem while the animal's alive. But if it's pirish makom l'makom after you're cooking the meat in a pot, that's not a problem. That's the shach. However, the Taz has a different smara. The Taz says the machlokas is not about din, but about metzias. The Taz says exactly, no dam was pirish mi makom l'makom, that what happens when you cook is every molecule of dam is either pirish l'chutz or lo pirish klal. He says they're arguing about metzias. The Ramah thinks when you cook it, some dam might move from one part of the meat to the other part of the meat. The Mechaber says, no, every molecule of dam has only two choices. Either it goes into the pot and gets batel b'shishim, or it stays right where it is. Cooking does not cause dam to move from one part of the meat to the other part of the meat. So it's unclear here whether there's a machlokas in metzias or in din. Again, according to the Taz, they're arguing metzias. The Ramah thinks little bits of dam move from one half of the meat to the other. And the Mechaber says, nope, they don't. Or the Ramah holds pirish makom l'makom is a halachic problem. And the Mechaber says, no, pirish makom l'makom is not a halachic problem if it's in a dead piece of meat. There's no way for us to know which of those two is the basis of the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah.
Is this only a machlokas achronim? This was not argued between the Ra'ah and the Rashba, Pirish.
Pirish makom l'makom l'achar misa does not seem to be explicitly addressed by the Rishonim. So what's the halakha l'maisa? So we don't know what the machlokas is about. We know why there are laws machmer, dam shepirish makom l'makom. We don't know if the Mechaber is mekel because he thinks it didn't happen or because it happened, but that's not a halakhic problem. But either way, what is the halakha l'maisa? So the Ramah tells us the halakha l'maisa is a compromise. He says, "V'hachi nohod im lo l'tzorech, we're machmer, baba makom tzorech, we're meko." So we take a pshara. Right, what's halakha l'maisa? Halakha l'maisa is aser, but makom tzorech, mutter. That's our pshara. What's the example with Tzorich? It says you'll covet Shabbos or covet Orchim, or the Shach adds Hefsin Beruva. That's Tzorich. Then we can rely on the Mekilim. The Nimlecha Chaticho, Nimlecha Karoi, Dina Kilo, Nimlecha Klau. And he has another halacha. If a piece was salted improperly, that has the same din as a Chaticho that wasn't salted. Probably the clear example, what he means is, let's say it was salted for less than a meal. Right? You only salted it for 10 minutes. Then that's the same as a non-salted piece of meat, the same halachas apply. Again, we don't start saying, oh, it was half salted, maybe it's different. No, we have a general rule. You need 60 times the whole Chaticho. Here he's referencing the next se'if that he says meat that was nishtahe, that sat 3 days before melicha and then was salted, we'll learn that that salting is not effective. So salting after 3 days is not effective. It's as if it wasn't salted, and the same dinim apply. This se'if. In Sif Yud Beis, the Mechaber tells the famous Chumer the Gaonim. This is a funny kind of din, because most dinim have some origin in Shas. There are a few dinim in Shulchan Aruch that are just the source from the Gaonim. I don't think there are any dinim in Shulchan Aruch that were invented later than the Gaonim. Some dinim in Shulchan Aruch that are source of the Gaonim that have no remez in Shas. It doesn't mean that it wasn't around the time of Shas, but for whatever reason, you know, we don't know, but for whatever reason it's not in Shas. But it's the Masorah of the Gaonim. So the Gaonim have this Masorah, which has no Mokar and Shas. Basar sheshashlo sheyamim me'eis la'eis belo melicha. Any meat that sits for 3 days, meaning three full 24-hour days, for 72 hours, you would say nowadays. Any meat that went 72 hours before being salted, nitzyam b'shdom v'sofa, the blood gets dried and hardened in, belo yetze od al yidei melicha. And salting doesn't help anymore. After 3 days, it's too late to salt it. The blood is too baked in, ki'ilu, or dried in, and the salt won't work. Therefore, you can't cook it, because obviously you can't cook without salting it, and salting it doesn't work. But, ella, tzli, but you can roast it, because tzli is stronger than melicha, right? Melicha is kiroteah, but tzli is mamish roteah, and therefore, well, we'll have to see exactly what tzli does. But you can't do melicha and bishul, but you can do tzli. That's a masora of the Gaonim. But now the question is, there are two ways to understand why tzli works but melicha doesn't. The truth is, I even erased what I said. I said one way, but I shouldn't have prejudiced us. There are two ways to understand why tzli works. Right? Why tzli is mutter, but melicha, and followed by bishul is usser. What's one way? Someone suggested me one way to understand.
The way you already said you're saying?
Okay.
The way, because tzli is rutak and melicha is only two.
Okay, meaning tzli, one way is, tzli is stronger, and what can tzli do that melicha can't? Just come. No trick question.
You got the blood after 3 days.
Exactly. Stronger and will remove all the dam, right? Even after it's dried for 3 days, tzli still does the trick, as opposed to melicha, which is weaker and will not remove all the dam. That's one way. What's the other way? The other way is to say that really, neither tzli nor melicha removes all the dam anymore. It's too late. You can't get the dam out. Tzli and melicha are equal. Neither of them will get the dam out anymore. Then why is tzli okay and melicha isn't? If neither of them get rid of all the dam, why is tzli okay and melicha isn't? No.
Maybe, like the searing, maybe the tzli sears that makes it.
Let's think about melicha. If you salt it and don't get out all the dam, there's still some dam left. What happens when you cook it? Exactly. The remaining dam.
Oh, because you're not going to cook it anymore.
Dam will be horesh and go back in, right? When you cook it, right, cooking is going to bubble everything. So it gets out, doesn't get out of the dam that's left will go into the water and back into the food. But when you do tzli,
It won't get out of all the dam, but the remaining dam is low pirish, right? When you eat the steak after broiling it, taka, there might be some dam left in there, but that's okay, that dam wasn't pirish. And during Sli, we're pretty sure, and we'll see, that's a pot, but Meikrim Din, we're sure that in Sli, that won't be pirish, makom l'makom. So maybe it's not that Sli is stronger, it's just that in Sli, whatever dam is left will be low pirish, so it'll be mutter. What's the nafkamina between shot one and shot two? Nafkamina, did I erase this? The nafkamina is, what about Sli va'acharkaf bishul? Can I do Sli followed by bishul? Can I roast it and then cook it? So according to the first shot, can I roast it and then cook it?
Yes.
Yeah, because roasting it, Sli is stronger, broiling is stronger, and it gets out all the dam. According to the second shot, could I do Sli and then bishul? No, because Sli doesn't get out all the dam. There's still some dam left there. It's not that Sli and Malik are different, it's that Bishul messes me up because it makes the dam pirish. So even if I do Sli, there's still some dam left. If I then do Bishul, it'll go out and come back in. So Taka, what's the halacha? Which shot is right? So the Mechaber says, V'acher shetzlo'o lo yivashlenu l'chachila v'machvir, not to do Bishul after Sli, l'chachila v'machvir like the second derech, v'im Bishul mutter b'pidiyeved. We're Mekel. What does the Machaber say? Machaber says, Lichatfila, we're Choshesh for the second explanation. So, Sli is not stronger. There's still some dam left. Therefore, you can't cook it. But, Bidiyeved, we rely on the first explanation that Sli is actually stronger and gets out all the dam. That's what the Machaber says. The Rambam says, sorry, that's the and the Ramayev, the Ein Lahashel. So that's the Psak L'chachila. We are we're Machmir, but B'dievid we can make a like the first day. Okay, some people are Shal's Machmir B'dievid. We don't hold like it. The Rama adds, this is from the Beth Piskei Arayev. The Ein Lahashel is Baser Shlosh Yom Glomalicha the Chayshin and Shem Yivashlo. Just a very logical thing.
Yeah, you might not have possibly yourself, but it makes a lot of sense, you know, very logical.
He says, don't say, what if you like barbecues? So don't say, I'll leave my meat for 3 days because I plan to just broil it and not cook it. I plan to eat in a barbecue anyway. No, because you might accidentally end up salting it and cooking it because you'll forget that it was there for 3 days. So someone, you or someone in your family might get confused. So don't leave it for 3 days and say, don't worry, I'll do tzli, because someone might get confused and do Malicha and Bishul, and you don't want to allow room for confusion.
Why can't after 3 days you just wash it off really well? I mean, if you see blood's dry inside.
So interesting, there is a sheet to the Rishonim that if you wash it in lukewarm water after 3 days, then that's okay, it re-softens it. Obviously, you can't wash it in hot water because that's cooking it, and the dam, and cold water's not going to do it, but lukewarm water, kosherim. But most Rishonim reject it, and they say, no, it gets dried on the inside, and even soaking it will not help. Okay? I don't necessarily understand. I'm not a chemist, but we hold that soaking in lukewarm water is not going to help. Nothing helps after 3 days. All you can do is broil it.
Can you stop the clock?
Could you stop the clock? So what nowadays, freezing. What would you think? So does freezing stop the clock or not? That is a big machlokas achronim. Does freezing stop the clock or not? The Prima Gudim here, if you look, Agav Orcha in the Sifsei Das of Katan Nun Gimel says, at the end, like the last few lines, Yeroh Elishim Hayavasar Mali Kerach Lushro Tok Gimel Yami Yishleser At the Yevet Yodia Shriya Lurakhi, etc. He says, if it was frozen, then soaking it doesn't help. We didn't get to soaking it until the next sift. But he says, he assumes the Dabar Pasha that frozen is a problem. So the Prima Gudim assumes that freezing does not stop the clock. However, most Achronim are making one say freezing stops the clock. For example, the Urcha Shulchan here, which is Simen Samach Tes, Sifkat and Ayin Tes, is making that freezing stops the clock. That's how Rav Avadya also paskins. Some Achronim hold like Prima Gudim that freezing doesn't stop the clock, but most Achronim hold like the the Aruch HaShulchan, that freezing stops the clock. L'chor, the logic here is, because if you think about it, I mean, freezing does stop the clock. That's the whole point of freezing. It stops all the clocks, you know, scientifically. Now, even though most achrona, if you took a din and you said, well, now we have a way, like, I'll be science to know this din doesn't apply, and you've probably learned enough your day this year to know that most achrona would probably say, well, we can't be sure. After all, we don't know exactly, and it's a din, and you can't just change the din. You know, it would be very, I mean, this is even controversial, but Rove Poskim would not be Mekel. But over here, there's a principle spread throughout the Nosei Kelim, where they always say again and again, since there's no Mokar and Shas, we suffix, we can be Mekel, meaning we're not allowed to be too Machmir about this idea of sitting for 3 days, since it has no Mokar and Shas. So therefore, that's why I think, they don't all say this explicitly, why are most Achron and Mekel on this question of freezing stops the clock? Because Mispar, it seems freezing should stop the clock. And even though sometimes we're nervous relying on our svar, it might be, you know, for an Isser, etc. But since it's a Chumar Sagaonu, which is not in Shas, and it's a svar, it should be okay. We can rely on our svar, even though it has no Mokar, if the Isser has no Mokar either in Shas. So that's why most poskim are Mekil, that freezing stops the clock. And it, of course, it's very misstabber. Since there's no Mokar in Shas, why not go with svar? Rav Moshe Feinstein takes an in-between shot in Igros Moshe Yoredeya Simen Chav Zayin. He says, you know what, lechachila, don't freeze it. Like, don't rely on this freezing. But if it's already frozen, then you can assume it stops the clock. So Moshe takes it in between shot, Moshe Feinstein. He says, don't plan and say, well, I'm not going to salt it till 2 months later, I'll freeze it meanwhile. No, lechachila, salt it first and then freeze it. I mean, why not? You know, you can salt it and then freeze it. Why do you have to freeze it and salt it? So lechachila, he says, not more like the prima gun. But b'di'evet, he says, you know, again, if it's only Chumar Sagaonim and Misvar, it seems to be okay, so you should be Mekel like the Aruch HaShulchan. So this is, just 1 second, this is, I'm not sure if it still is, but at least at one point this is a big thing. In Israeli Kashrus, right, some of the restaurants have meat which comes from Chutz L'Aretz, and I don't know if they still do it. Anyone? What? No, I know they still have meat from Chutz L'Aretz. They still freeze it before they salt it. They ship it in a ship across the Atlantic. Yeah. Obviously, that takes more than 3 days, and obviously it's frozen, or else, I mean, they wouldn't be able to sell it. Once it got here, they haven't been frozen the whole trip. So it's frozen for quite a while, so I think at least the way they used to is they froze it and then salted it when it got to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why some people are macro, like the Prima Gadmi. After 3 days, it's too late to salt it, and it doesn't work, and you can't eat it. But pashtas, you shouldn't be macro on that. Even if you want to say maybe lechachila, they shouldn't have been so make them. It could be that nowadays it's different, and they sold it in Argentina. I'm not sure. I don't know what they do nowadays. Anyone know? But whatever it is, lechora, once they're serving the meat, I don't see why you should be so makfit on this. Because again, be smart, it seems to be mutter. You have most poskim say it's mutter, and it's an isser without a mukher and shas, so it seems like you don't have to be quite so, machmer on this issue of the frozen meat.
Even though it's not in shas, there does seem to be another issue about freezing, which is this. Just like what we have by Basra Chol, you're not allowed to touch two things together that are going to need hadaka because you might forget. So too, how do we know we're not going to forget here to salt? So you keep the meat in your freezer. How do you know you're not going to forget to salt it later?
That's a good question. The answer probably is that, even if you just leave it for 2 hours, how do we know you're not going to forget to salt later? So the answer is we have no choice but to trust you because not everyone can salt everything right away. People have lives. So therefore, if we can trust you to salt it in 6 hours, then we can trust you to salt it when it thaws out. That's lechora the answer. Maybe theoretically it would have been nice to say, never leave any meat because you might forget to salt it. But, that's not practical. It also could be that, Epsher, you could tell, certainly in the old days when the meat was not all packaged and fancy, whatever. But lemaisa, we don't have that gzeira. You're allowed to keep meat without salting it. I mean, chacham made a barosho, but we don't have gzeira. You can't let meat sit there without salting it lest you forget to salt it.
Just the definition of tzli, like if you have a grill and someone cooks a steak on that grill, is that considered tzli?
Yeah, that's tzli.
Okay.
Is a foreman grill tzli? My intuition is not, but let's wait till we get to tzli. And then we'll check if my memory serves me correctly.
Do we know from the golden what the star was behind 3 days after?
You mean how they know 3 days as opposed to anything else? I'm sure there's a svar. I'm sure, if anyone came up with a mucker for that, it would probably be the grud. Did the grud say anything? On this if? not so much. I guess the Grud doesn't have so much to say on this, since I don't know. I'm sure someone has a good hesper out there. Meaning it could just be that they knew from science, but I'm sure that you can find something to tie that into.
Would you say that maybe does it side of Hafnir by freezing because it dries up the blood and the immune passive?
It doesn't dry it. It solidifies it. That's not the same as drying. I don't think when you freeze something, it gets dried out, right? I've seen food that's dried out, and I don't think that happens when you freeze it. Not a bucket, you have to ask someone.
Yeah, but the liquid's still there. It's an ice form.
Yeah, so I don't think so. And their issue seems to be drying. It's yavish, so I don't think they're worried about that. Okay, so that's an important halachic issue. Again, without getting into all the et cetera about exactly whose standard of kashrus is what, et cetera, but at least as far as the issue of freezing, it seems that there's more story to be made on. Yud Gimel has the imsharu also b'mayim tov shloshi yavim. How can you restart the clock, though? You're talking about stopping the clock. Can you stop the clock by freezing it? The answer is probably, but Prima Gavim says no. But even better than stopping the clock, of course, is restarting the clock. Can you restart the clock? The answer is yes. The imsharu also b'mayim tov shloshi yavim l'yachol lashoso od shloshi yavim macheir and pachos chatzi shah. If you soaked it, during the 3 days, that restarts the clock. You get another 3 days less half an hour. Now, where did that exact line come from? We'll see in a second. So soaking it restarts the clock. Now, what counts as soaking it? So the Taz says in Sifkat Lam Gimel, Davka Chatzi Shah, you have to use Davka half an hour, at the very least, lechatchila, and he compares it to Hadach Rishona. Just like Hadach Rishona is half hour, and according to many Rishona, that was to soften it. So if here we're trying to soften it, to make it not dry out. So, half hour does the trick. So the Taz says, lechatchila, you need half an hour. Although he admits, b'dieved, you can make do with a smaller washing. And that's why he says, you get another 3 days less half an hour. Right, meaning from when you finished soaking for half an hour, you get 3 days from the beginning of the soaking, which gives you another 71 and a half hours. The Shach in Sifkat and Gimel says that you shouldn't be so machmir because it doesn't have a mukar in Shas. And therefore, lechachila, you should soak it well. Lechachila, you should soak it well. But he thinks that really, even a little soaking, even if it's 9.5 hours, is good enough. And that's why he's got an indalit. He says, "Pachos chatzishah lavdavkel pachos ma'ach." Meaning, the Taz assumes we really take half hour much more seriously. Soak it for half an hour, and then you get another 71.5 hours. Shach says, "No, you just have to soak it well, but lavdavkel half hour." And therefore, you get really another 71 hours and like 59 minutes or something from the beginning of like the last minute of soaking. The lechatchila, I think over Noheg, that if this comes up, which it usually doesn't, we would soak it for half an hour to be on the safe side. B'dieved, both the Taz and Shach agree that b'dieved, even if all you did was rinse it, you didn't soak it at all, then that's good enough. So if you're really stuck with b'dieved, lechatchila, you should soak it. Taz takes half hour very literally, the Shach a little less literally. But b'dieved, you know, to have a good softening, b'dieved, even if you just hosed it down well, you could be somech on that if you're really, you can be somech on that b'dieved if you didn't really have another option.
Can you continue this?
With the smack and smack that we learned.
Right.
And maybe we'll only worry about the outside blood that's
right now, here, the Chora, we're worried even about the inside blood, which is all going to dry up, but still, b'dieved, after all, it's only Chomer Sager Onem, you don't have to be so machmer. My grandfather's story once, when he lived in Ohio, he was very close to a Blazer Silver, who would love to have adventures. So he once like called him up like 2:30 in the morning or something and said, the train broke down carrying the kosher meat, which hadn't been salted yet. And it's not going to get there in time to be salted within 72 hours. We have to go rescue the meat. So they went like in the middle of the night and they found a fire hose and they like hosed down the whole train full of meat in the middle of the night where it was stuck, you know, until they get there the next morning and fix the train carrying the meat. and save the meat, and it was a big thing. Apparently, by the time we got there, they said, no, if you like, just wash it and then let it go on a train, it ruined the whole thing, and they were very upset. But it was a fun adventure at the time. Okay. This, apparently, this used to happen all the time if you hung out with the right gadolim. There's a whole book about Blazer Silver. I'm sure there's someone here who would recommend that.
And then, can you continue this process many times?
Lahore, you could. Yeah, it sounds like you could keep doing it. Okay, so there's a way to restart the clock. Again, lechachilish soak it for a long time, but if you're really, really stuck, like you can't get off the train and whatever, then, again, I'm not vouching for the culinary implications, but then it would do the trick if you just, like, hose it down for a while with a big fire hose.
Sorry, another question. When the Israeli government, whatever, gives a tuda, sorry, the rabbanut, how can they say that it's not good if maybe people are going to do tzli on this meat?
Who said it's not good?
I'm saying, well, didn't you say that it's a problem? That some people would say that it's a problem if it hasn't been salted.
So those people who would say it's a problem if it hadn't been salted for 3 days would say it's a problem if you cook it. How could they would be molded if you barbecued it?
Okay, so I see. That. So okay. They didn't say it's trash. They just said it's...
Right. They just said it's only good enough for tzli. So the truth is, in a lot of these restaurants, they grill the steak anyway, right? Yeah. When you grill a steak, you do tzli, you know? You put it on a fire with holes underneath?
There is amazing. The metal...
Right, I don't know. I don't know what they do. Amaisa. Okay. The Yud Dalad says, Vashar Shashar Shloshi Yamin Velo Melicha V'nes Arva Usachaticha V'chatichos Acheros. But la birov, if you have meat that sat for 3 days without melicha and got mixed up with other chatichos, it is butl birov umutter lavashel kulon, and it's mutter to cook them all. Obviously, it means someone makes this, one of the nosikon makes this clear, after you salt them. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can, like, if one piece of meat is unsalted, then you don't have to salt it. But it means that if either you have unsalted meat that's after 3 days mixed up with regular meat, you salt it at all, or meat that was accidentally salted after 3 days with normal salted meat. In the end, it's all salted, it's mixed up. But you have one piece of meat that the melicha didn't work, so it was after 3 days. And the other piece of meat, the melicha did work. So, what's the din? Butla berov, umutel vashel kulam. It's butla berov, and you can cook them all. Vafilu, paisa ru'uya liskabe. Even if it was a chaticha ru'uya liskabe. V'chein adim, and it's vashel below melicha, and it's arev v'chakir v'achiros. Likewise, says the Ramah, if it... you have meat cooked without melicha, mixed up with other meat cooked with melicha, it's bittul berov. Okay, so there's a few principles at stake here. The basic rule is bittul berov. Why does he apply bittul berov here? Because what type of case is this? This is the case of yavish v'yavish, which is bittul. Yavish v'yavish min bevino, at least that's what it seems at first. So it's bittul berov. The question is, right, so you say it's bittul berov. What are the questions you could have? Anyone want to ask one question? Maybe it shouldn't be batel berov. So one question the Rama already anticipated we would ask. Right? Maybe it shouldn't be batel berov because it's a chaticha haru'uya liskabe. But what's the answer?
It's not.
Exactly. So the meat's kosher, just the dam inside that's straight. And the dam's not ru'uya liskabe. That's the easiest one. Not aser machmas atzmo. What's another question you could ask? Maybe it's a... Ah, good. Maybe it's min b'she'eno mino, because it's dam in basa. Remember, it's not really meat and meat. It's not like a magical halos in the meat. Like, this is meat which has a magical halos and that doesn't. No. One piece of meat is full of dam, because after 3 days, the melicha doesn't work anymore. And the other pieces of meat are not full of dam. So it's not a taros of meat and meat. It's a taros of dam and meat. And dam and meat is min b'she'eno mino. This really perplexed most of the Nosei Kalim here. The Shach was very perplexed by this. This is min b'she'eno mino of dam and basar. Remember the rule. Yavish b'yavish min b'she'eno mino. Let's review the rule. Yavish b'yavish min b'she'eno mino is shishim. Why? As a gzera. Shema yavashle. Maybe you'll cook it and then it'll be lach b'lach. Right? So, the Shach actually, it's funny. Nosei Kalim point out, it's funny that the Shach doesn't come with a clear answer here, but all the later Achronim point out that the Shach in Simen Kof Tes already answered this question. What's the answer to this question? How do you rescue the Machaber? Because? Because yavesh the yavesh min v'she'eino mino batel barov. Hold on, that's not true. You got to add something here, right? We know it's not true.
You can't be matrid.
What? No. Remember, this is the Shashita of Isidro Abanan. Shat says only in Isidro Raisa do we worry, maybe you'll cook it and turn it into lak lak. But in Isidro Abanan, we're not worrying. We say, Yavish, Yavish, even in Mishaino Minos, Batal Barov. That was the Kiddush, the Shach, and Simon Kuftes. So again, the Shach here doesn't actually end up there. I can't explain, but all of the Achronim here point out, I mean, who are they? Dogomer Vava here, I think, no. Who gives this answer? Oh, the Nekudat HaKesef here gives this. I'm on the wrong page. Yeah, the Nekudat HaKesef gives this answer, which it starts with Agal, that means with the Shachson. The Dogomer Vava gives this answer in Tes Vav in my fancy edition. Rabbi Kiva Eger gives this answer. Where does he give this answer? All right, Loma Shana, we have enough people to give this answer. All the Achronim give the answer that, according to this, this is really a good marker for the Shach's Kiddush, that in Drabbanans, Yom Yishro, Yom Yishin, Yom Yishin, Yom Yishin, why is this Drabbanan? What? Exactly, it's only probably after it's cooked, and it's Dam Shabishlo. Now there's Dam Shabishlo, it's Dam Shemilcho, even before it's cooked, because there's Malicha. I understand what you were saying, Penny, but that doesn't help for the Ramah at the very end of the Sif. So you're right, but we want something to work for the Ramah. Okay, anyone have a third question as to why it shouldn't be Batal Barov? Maybe it's a Dover Sheyesh Lomativin. What's the matter? What is the matter? Sleep, right? Malicha doesn't help, it's already salted, and the Malicha didn't work because it lasted 3 days. But it's a Dover Sheyesh Lomativin Al Yedei Tzli. Ah, so Dover Sheyesh Lomativin shouldn't be buffled, just roast it all. Yep. So this is the famous machlokes, so between the Rif and the other Rishonim, that the Rif would taki considered Dover Sheyesh Lomativin, yet there's a way to use it. But what do we say? It's not a Dover Sheyesh Lomativin because there's no matter to eat. Because there's. No, because we don't accept that. Okay. Exactly. There's no matter for the way you want to eat it. There's no matter for Bishol. Right, so that's what we say. The answer is there's no matter for the use you desire. Meaning, matirin means you can do what you want, you just have to do something else first. But over here, you don't like broiled meat. You want to cook the meat. So therefore, there's no, that's not the deviation of matirin. You're going to ask Rabbi Kiva Eger's question. No, there's a shita like that, but we don't pass it that way. You weren't asked Rabbi Kiva Eger's question. Okay, good. So we don't get it. So it's not deviation, this is an important principle. That's why if milk gets mixed into vegetable soup and it's less than a 60th, it's bottle. We don't say deviation of matirin to eat on a weekday clochic meal. No, you want to eat it with pleasure. There's no matter for the use you want. That's the rule. That devastation of tyranny means you could do what you want, you just have to do something else first. But if you could use it a different way than you want, and you can't use it the way you want, that's not devastation of tyranny. We should distinguish, though, between three different cases, which is important to distinguish. One case is the Mechaber's case. The Mechaber's case is Basar Shenimlach Achar Gimel Yamin gets mixed into Basar Shenimlach Kedin. That is not Dover Sheyesh Lomativin, even though it's Mutar Bitzli. Then there's Ramah's case. The Ramah says, The Ramah says, V'chena dim nisbasho b'lo malicha v'nisari v'achar kach v'acheros. The Ramah's case, you have nisbasho b'lo malicha in nisbasho achar malicha. This is obviously not a Dover Sheyesh Lomativin. Why is that obviously not a Dover Sheyesh Lomativin? Because once it was cooked in that malicha, there's taka no way to be mastered. That's clearly trafen kosher. There's a third case, which they don't discuss here, which the Nozakelim discuss
in Simon Kopeis, what about this third case? Which is, Basar Shelo Nimlach gets mixed in to Basar Shenimlach. What about that case? Right? Regular, within 3 days, right? Toch, Gimel, Yamin. Unsalted meat gets mixed in with salted meat, right? You have 4 pieces of meat, one is unsalted, or you have 3 pieces of meat, one is unsalted, two is salted. You don't know which is which. So in this case, Taka, the Shaf and Taz, the Simon Kof Beis seem to imply this would be usser because of Dabar Sheish Matirin. Here, it's real Dabar Sheish Matirin. You just salt it and they all become usser, so you'd have to salt them all. Look over. And I don't think we'd say, well, you have to spend money on salt, so we don't not use much urine. Of course, salt is pretty cheap. What about tircha? Is it such a tircha?
That's how much it is.
Right.
Wouldn't it be similar to kasher and kalim?
So wouldn't it be similar to kasher and the kalim? So I don't know, what's more of a tircha, salting or kasher and kalim? I think kasher and kalim. I don't know.
That's good. Right.
Okay, it's a bit of a tzarchi, and I think the Shach and the Tavis and Gopeis implied that would be considered Dabar Sheish Matirin, and it, that's why the Machaber and the Mara don't mention this case here.
So,
Kodesh
and Tzias, they don't have industrial wheat plants, so
today it's so hard to kasher because you've never seen it done before. Yeah, sure. Okay, tzarchi. What are we up to? Tesla. Ah, okay. Basar. So Tesvav is, let's see. Basar hamaluchluch bedamim, meat that still is dirty with dam. The truth is, but no, it's kind of a long discussion. I'm going to get through with it. It's probably the same din whether it's actually a dirty dam on the outside or just has dam on the inside because it wasn't salted. Shenishra b'mayim eis la'eis. That was soaked in water for 24 hours. So what do we call that? Kavash kimavushal. So it should be like basar that was kavash without malicha should be like basar that was cooked without malicha. Because kavash kimavushal. So what does the cover say? Yesh osrim la'achlo ki im tzli. It's usher to eat it unless you broil it. Elim kim yesh b'mayim shishim kenegdo. Unless it was basar b'shishim. Now Ramah says, Yesh osrim afil litzli v'hachi nohol. We're machmer, even on tzli, and that's the minhag. So, what's the issue here? Can I erase this? The issue here is, when we say kavash kumavushal, how davka do we mean that? Right, we know bishul has certain properties. Forget about the properties of kavash kumavushal in Hilchas Harubos and Basar Kalim, etc. Here we're talking about the properties of kavash kumavushal when it comes to dam in a chaticha. Kavash is definitely in the same basic, arena as mavushal, but it's kavash davka mavushal, or is it not davka mavushal? So that seems to be a machlokas between the mechaber and the ramah here. If we have here, we have mavushal, right, mavushal without malicha. So what's the din? The meat is asur legamre. You can't do anything. Why? Because cooking ingrains the dam in so much, it'll never come out. How about kavush without malicha? So here, the mechaber says, asur the Ramah says, Asur Lagamre. The Ramah takes Kavash Kumavushal literally. If Bishal gets the dam so ingrained that it'll never come out, then so does Kavash. Get the dam so ingrained that it'll never come out. However, the Mechaber says, no, Kavash is lav davka kumavushal. It's more or less, it's kimavushal. It's similar to Mavushal that it takes the dam out of the chaticha and brings it back in. It's dam shapirish, and it ingrains the dam of the chaticha. But it's not so ingrained. If you can't get it out anymore through malicha, but you can get it out through tzli, a hurrah fire.
still has the power to get the dam out. After cooking, fire can't get the dam out anymore. But after kavush, it can, because Rana takes kavush to mevushel as an equation. The mechaber takes kavush to mevushel as a comparison. There seems to be another machlokas here, because the question is, what about this is mevushel without malicha if there's no shishim? What about if there is shishim? Anyone remember the din? If there is shishim and you cook meat without malicha, what's the din?
Everything's mutter according to the machaber.
The machaber said mutter, and the Rama says, Aser chutz mimakum tzorech. Right? Well, what's the din here? So the machaber is very clear. Yesh osur la'ochlo kiyam tzli, elin king, yesh mayim shishim connected. If there's mayim shishim, it's mutter. Well, of course, that makes sense. Because if the machaber said it's mutter by bishul, then it's certainly mutter by tzli. Like, the machaber is not even really interesting here. Right? That's sort of obvious. The machaber is obvious. Well, kavush is not going to be worse than bishul. The question is, what would the Rama say here? The Rama who says we're machmir, that even if there is shishim, still it's dam shapir from makom lamakom, right? If there's shishim, any blood that comes out is nesbatim. But it's dam shapir from makom lamakom, it's unrescuable. What would he say in kavush if there is shishim? Would he say it's an exact equivalence? Or would he be moda that it's not? That's not 100% clear in the Rambah himself, but the Shach quotes this machlokas between the Rambah and the Maharshal. Let's just add the Maharshal agrees with our mother. The Rambah says mutter. The Maharshal says, usher. The Rama says, you know what, even there, even though by Bishul, I was machmir, except for a makom tzorech, like Kavush Shabbos or Orchim or Hefsim Ruva, over here I'll admit Kavush isn't totally from the Bishul. So the Rama is in between Shita. He says, legabe, whether if it became trey, you can sleek kasher it up again. He says Kavush is totally from the Bishul. But legabe, whether if there was shishim, it becomes trey, whether it causes a pirish from makom lamakom, then he says, well, kavush is not totally like mevushel. After all, in mevushel, it was only a borderline ma'av, aser, but motor makom. So by kavush, I'll be makel. The Maharshal takes it to an extreme. He says, literally, kavush from mevushel. He says that it's going to be aser even if there was shishim. Halacha l'maisa, the Shach makes a pshara. Shach makes a pshara. That it's mutter al yidei tzli. Right? The tzera. The Ramah and Machaber says always mutter al yidei tzli. So he makes a pshara. He says, you know what? If there was shishim connected, it's mutter al yidei tzli.
Did the Ramah not there even
put some up on the
tzara?
Yes, okay, so we have two machlokos here about how seriously to take kavush from mevushel. Again, one if there is only 59 times as much water, then the Ramah says totally kimavushel. It's unrescuable. Machaber says it's a little like mevushel. There's only, if you can't, you don't have two ways to get the dam out anymore. There's only one way to get the dam out. Then the other machlokes, if there was shishim, so whenever dam came out, is buckle, but was a pirish muck and lockam inside, for the machaber it's a non issue, but for the Rambah, so for the Ashkenazim. So the Rambah says, it's not totally, here I admit it's not totally kim mevushel, by bishul or machaber, pirish muck and lockam, by kavush or not, but the Maharshal says, no, we're machaber, pirish muck and lockam in both cases. Okay, and then the Shach is only makel based on a tzeirah for 2 days. He says, well, if there was shishim, then you can make all yidei tzli because you can rely on the day of the Ramah. Then it wasn't pirish makom lamakom kavush, and you can rely on the day of the put together with the machaber, who says, even if it was pirish makom lamakom, it'll come out all yidei tzli. Okay, we have one more sif, and here we really get into, we start getting into the real nitty gritty of malicha. Truth is, by now we know how to do malicha, actually. By now we all know how to do malicha. That's pretty much finished. We finished learning how to do malicha. Now, well, I guess we should include the first line of Tesayim. But now we're going to get into, I guess, the last bit of how to do malicha and all the real interesting questions of what happens if you mess up with malicha. So So Tesai, ein molchet ella bekli menukav. Very important rule.
The Gemara says chulin
da maybe kofi gimel that you have to do malicha in a holy kli. The reason why is obvious, because if you do malicha like in a bucket or a regular tub or something, all the dam, the salty dam, will make a pool there and it'll be kavish and seer. And you know, if they should then all HVR tiyach, it'll all become trait. It'll just make the dam go back in. But if the kli has holes, then the blood will drain out. So that's pasha. Other options, oh, got be cushioned to kismin, or on top of like twigs and straw, which is really the same idea. If you pile something on twigs, there's holes between the twigs and the blood goes down. So it's the same idea. Oh, malkum midron, or on a slanted surface. Because even though there's no holes on a slanted surface, obviously the blood won't pool, it'll just slide down the slant. But in your shimmy shuffle, shaman yitz miyad. How slanted does it have to be? It has to be slanted so that if you pour water, it immediately falls out. You know, runs down the slant. Actually, I had a Talmud once, an MTA, who used to salt in his dorm room by just taking his desk and putting one side on a book, propping up one side on a book. And that was halach fine as far as Yishim Malika goes, the Dimi Malika goes.
Okay.
What?
Where did you do the shkita at?
I think in the chem lab, I'm not sure. there are not ads, the daf cholok. Okay, this is a case which I don't think we actually rely on practically. I don't think anyone actually does this. Because if you have a surface which is totally smooth, like it's been like shaved down and it's totally smooth, that water flows off it, then you don't even have to put it. You don't even have to have it slanted. Because if it's totally smooth, then no blood can collect because it has to roll off because it's totally smooth. But if it's not totally smooth, then you have to put a diagonal. Again, I don't think we play around with this, Lamaisa. But it's true, Taka. If this would be totally smooth, which it is, really, when I salt it here, the blood would not collect, because on a smooth surface, it would just disperse. Okay, but I don't think
it would. There's still be somewhat under it.
Yeah, but that's not enough to be a problem. After all, there's still some blood on the surface of the meat anyway when you salt. That's why you need the Hadacha Achrona. But it's not a pool of blood. It's not a collection of blood. But again, I don't think we actually do this.
You know, they have very heavy piece of meat. So even if it's a negro, it could collect in certain parts of it. I mean, maybe it's not a flat piece of meat. Is that nothing? The bottom part of it is larger than the top part, something like that.
Okay, we'll get to that. The question of gumos in the meat. Yeah, okay, we'll get to that. In the chan. Okay. Then he says, "Va'afilu b'kli menukav yizor lechadchila shivanah kam tzuchet." Up till here is b'di'evit. Up till here is if you don't do it this way, it's treif. And we'll have to get to the details. But now he said, "Lechadchila, we have extra zahiras that even in a kli menukav, you should make sure that the holes are totally open. Let's say you do it in a bucket with holes. Make sure those holes aren't blocked at all. That's only lechadchila because." Even if they're a little blocked, the blood will still drain out. But l'chachili, you should make the holes are totally clear. And therefore, what two things should you do? V'lachem, lo yamido agave karkot, you complete your nukav. You shouldn't put it down on the dirt, because then there's dirt under the holes. Like, you shouldn't put it down outside, because then it'll block up the holes. But the eved, we all know, will drain through the holes into the dirt. Right? If it's, I'm going to put it on, like, metal, if it's on dirt. But l'chachila, you know, you shouldn't have anything underneath the holes. You shouldn't put the... You should put the holy bucket, I guess, on stilts, not on or hang it from the ceiling. Not put it down on the ground. And the chin machmir tzas losam tocha kli menukav kasho kismin ki abasur yistom hanukavim. Likewise, we're machmir a little to put maybe some twigs on the bottom of the bucket with holes, so that the meat will not, like, maybe here's a hole and some piece of meat will dock and fall into the hole and block the hole. So therefore, you put like a few twigs to make sure the meat doesn't block the hole. This is all lechachila b'di'eved. As long as there's holes, that's good enough. But lechachila, you try to get perfect drainage from the holes. B'di'eved, as long as there's holes, that's good enough. Okay, nowadays, I think it's more common nowadays to salt on a slanted surface than on a kli with holes. But you could use a kli with holes. Certainly if you use like a grill or something, then you don't have to worry about blocking up the holes or anything because like it's almost all holes. And then, you know, there's nothing to worry about. But most people nowadays use slanted surface. Okay, the M. Now, what if you messed up? The M. Malach v'klisha eino menukav. The Asur l'shtamish v'osu kli v'davar oteach. The Gemara says,
that the kli that you salt in, you can't use it for hot food. Now, most Rishonim assume this is talking about if you messed up the salting, if you messed up the malicha, and accidentally did malicha in a kli she'enu menukav, like a regular kli, took a pot, and you did malicha in there, then of course that kli becomes treif, because it absorbs the dam through the salt that comes out through the salting, and the dam pools there. It's not flowing. There's a lot of dam collecting there, and it gets absorbed into the kli. So now the kli is treif, so of course, if it's a treif kli, you can't use it for eating hot food anymore. Obviously, treif kli, you put hot food on treif kli, it'll absorb the treif taste. So this is you know, pretty much a dumber pashut. I mean, I guess you might have had a hav amina. No, dam never gets absorbed into a kli, because dam is very slippery, which we'll see this far like that. But no, dam is very slippery if it's like just slipping off a kli. But if the dam is collecting there in a pool of brine, it gets absorbed into the kli. And since it gets absorbed into the kli, that kli becomes treif. And you can't use it for hot food. And what happens if you do use it for hot food? So, the imnishtamish bo, if you do use it, did actually a bit of machlokes be shown him here, which I didn't get into in the makoros. The Ravid has somewhat of a shitas yachid, that since this kli has salt absorbed in it, the kli is like considered like hot forever. It's like always, it's like roteach for the rest of its life. We generally don't assume that. We assume, no, the kli is balei eser, it's a cold kli. Okay, so let's assume, according to most Rishonim. So, what happens if you put hot food on a cold kli? So, everyone knows the din. What happens if you put hot food on a cold treif kli?
Today
klipa, that says in Mishtamish bo, ba'i klipa, the Ramah says, imu dover yavish. If you put dry food on it, you have to take off a kadei klipa, that kli, because ademeku le bala kadei klipa, tatal gover, ademeku le bala kadei klipa. You have to take off the bottom layer of that food. If you mudover lath, we nishishin and klipa in a car. And if you put liquid in it, then you don't know what the klipa of the liquid is, but you know how much the liquid got traced, the same size the klipa of the kli. So you need 60 times the klipa of the kli. Okay, that's not a, I mean, we saw there was a really machlokes on Bali Tosfos, but which the Chorin get into, but this is, should not come as a chiddush for us. This should be pretty logical. The Shach does point out, there's an interesting Shach, who says that, Taka, do you have 60 times the klipa of a kli? And he gives us a masorah that, I don't know, I think I mentioned about Peh, but I don't think we saw Bechsav yet. What? That he assumes every kli, if you fill up the kli, the food in it is 60 times the klipa of the kli. Remember, we had an opposite masorah that if you fill up a kli, the food will never, almost never, be 60 times the whole width of the kli. But if the klipa of the kli, I mean, if you think about it, you take a pot and you fill it up, for sure the soup in there is more than 60 times the klipa. But the Shach points out, but it could be that over here, if you're talking about a shallow tray, maybe for a normal kalim, there's always 60 times the klipa of the kli. But for a shallow tray, where you might fill it up very shallowly, maybe there won't be 60 times, so that's why the Rambam says, since sometimes the kli we're dealing with is a very shallow tray, you have to check whether the food you put in has 60 times the klipa of the kli or not. Yes, Anna Michael.
Considering that, depending on the material which the kli is made of, a klipa could be a varying thickness because, you know, klipa is the thinnest amount that you could peel, right? And the greater is when the little pieces come up. So therefore, for wood or metal or this or that, and also some of these things, you couldn't even take a klipa off. It's a physical impossibility to take a klipa out of ceramic, for instance.
Is that true?
A klipa,
out of ceramic? Probably just depends how sharp of a knife you have.
You think so?
I've never tried. I'm not, you know.
The basic question is, does klipa depend on the material, or is it a universal shear?
Lachora, it might depend on the material, but still, it's going to be pretty. I think it's going to be pretty small either way. And I think with fine implements, you could take a klipa off most things. I think. Okay, but I'm not sure.
Have we made any chilukim between using kli cheres or
not yet? Okay, then he continues. Ava v'yeshomrim. Here he quotes a machlokas rishon, and this just a. machlokas brought down by the Rashi. The Rashi, Yesh Omer, Shafila Bitsone Aser Lishtamish Bo Below Hadacha. Vim Lishtamish Bo Below Hadacha, Yadiach Mashin Lishtamish Bo. And some people say that even
if it's cold, you can't use it. Even for cold food, you can't use it until you wash the plate clean. But until you wash the plate clean, you can't use it even for cold food. What's the issue here? The issue is, if you have a kli that was just used for treif, can you use it for kosher cold? Well, if it's totally clean, then you can. What if it's not totally clean? So, the Shach explains, we cut in Samach Vav, I think, that everyone agrees. Yeah. He explains that it's obvious that if it's still totally dirty, then you can't use it even for cold. It's totally dirty with treif on it. How can you use it for cold? The question is, what do you need to clean it? This is based on a machlokas. It seems to be a machlokas this way about how to clean knives, and the whole question is whether a flea used for salting gets more stuck on than a knife, less stuck on than a knife. Is kinuach good enough? Is wiping it good enough? Or do you need washing it? Right? Is it enough to just wipe it with the rag? Or do you have to actually wash it out thoroughly with water and the sponge, the chlor? So, it's pashut that if it still has the treif dam on it, and you haven't cleaned it at all, of course you can't put kosher food in there, even cold. It's pashut that if you wash it off well, remember that was the shakas in Sadi Aleph, it's pashut that if you washed it well and it's sparkling clean, of course you can put cold kosher food on it. Barai. This whole siman is barai. The question is, what if you wiped it but didn't wash it? You took a paper towel and you wiped it clean, but obviously it's not as good as really washing it in the sink. So, there, some machlokes rishonim, some are mekel, but the mechaber here is machmir, right? This is the only, even this is your yom. Well, the mechaber actually means 2 days, because the first day it says it's only us to put hot food, it's mutter to put cold food in. So the first day in the mechaber would be mekel. The second day in the mechaber would be machmir, says you can't put cold food in until you do. Until you do a dacha, so let's just make ourselves a little flow chart instead of a chart here. Cold food in a treif kli. Right, remember, if you're putting hot food in a treif kli, of course that's also, that's what we saw, it hits asr kli klipa. That's pashut. What about cold food in a treif kli? So, the if you, what are the three choices we have? If you didn't do even kinuach, then of course that's usur. After all, it's going to get all the treif on it. If you did hadacha, then that's mutter, it's sparkling clean. And again, let's assume, you know, I'll write this in now, the achronim don't discuss in this, but let's assume we're talking about barai. Right? Barai. If it's the kvios, then we already know from later on in Simi Kuftaf Aleph, that it's also used b'kvias. Anyone want to remind me why it's also to use b'kvias for cold food? Because you'll eventually mess up and use it for hot food. Okay, what if you did kinuach, but not hadacha? Then that's the machlokes. The first day in the machaber says, there's no way to serve cold food, it's mutter. The second day in the machaber says that it's usur. What is the shach? How does the shach machriya? What is the shach? What's his pshara here? The shach decides. It's forgotten samach vav. Quotes the Torah's chatz. Kli cheres is usur, but other kalim is mutter, and that's the marshal, and that's the rashba, and that's similar to what he said in Simet Tzadi Aleph. So the shach makes a pshara. He says klicheres is usur, because that's harder to clean. Everyone knows it get really disgusting. Again, he doesn't mean klicheres like our modern day China dishes that are glazed. Those don't get so disgusting. It means like a real klicheres. It's just, forget about bleels. It's just really hard to clean. But, sorry. Klicheres is usur. Shar kelim is mutter. But then, Rabbi Kiva Eger points out here, he quotes from the Achronim, Mem Aleph in my fancy edition, Minchas Yaakov Kasav, that klicheres, no, remember, we have a bigger chumra by klicheres. Klicheres, even after hadacha was usur.
So, the, let's just circle the sock here. But, the Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that Kli Cheres is usher even after Hadacha, because by Kli Cheres we are extra machmir. And again, his reason was, we saw a bit of machlokas, there's room to disagree. He says, because Kli Cheres, since you had kasher, we're extra worried that you might accidentally use it for hot. So therefore we say, even Barai is usher. So this is very similar to the Halakha L'maisa we came out with in Siman Tzadi Aleph. Again, Halakha L'maisa, it doesn't seem to be that we have different rules here than in regular trade, even though obviously, according to some like the Ravid, things might work out differently if he held this cleat was considered hot forever. And then the whole machlokes are shown within that derech, whether washing it stops it from being hot or not. But lemaisa, we don't change the psak because that's so. Bikvias, of course, we don't use trade kalim. Ba'arai, so in Klicheres, we are machvir. In shar kalim, we are mekel, and the machaber seems to have two deis as two. Whether you need hadacha or whether just kinuach is good enough, and the shach is mekel and shar kelim, that just kinuach is good enough. Okay. The Ramah then continues. Aval mutter lachzor v'mulim loach ba baser la'achar shenek vua o apil vona kivim ha-baser shakvar v'mulichasa v'huda. Ma says, but there's one thing you can still do with it. Everyone agrees you can still use it for salting. You can still use it for salting. What do you mean, how can you use it for salting? It doesn't have holes. It says, no, you poke holes in it, break holes in it, and then use it for salting. Or, if you want to salt meat that's already been salted, like it's already been salted for halakhic purposes, now you just want to salt it, like take it on a trip in the desert, you know, to preserve it, then you can still use it for salting. Why is he so makel that you can... use it. Oh, sorry, I skipped a line in the Machaber. I apologize. And if you did use it without Hadacha, then you get the end on your food, so you have to wash off your food very well. Okay, so the Tas says, but you can use it for salting meat. You can always use it for salting meat. Why? How can you use it for salting meat? Won't that get the bleed out into your meat? Because Maliach Protach? Remember, Malicha can get taste into a kli, but Malicha can't get taste out of a kli, and that's what the Taz is saying. You can salt in this, sorry, that's what the Rambam is saying, you can salt in this treif up kli, because even though Malicha got the treif into the kli, it won't get any treif out of the kli. So you can salt in the kli. Why aren't we worried? What do you mean you can salt in the cleat? It sounds like you can salt in the cleat even without washing the cleat. Like, aren't we worried that the in of dam will get onto your meat when you salt? No problem, because you always wash your meat after you salt it anyway. So if we remember some Tzadi Aleph, anything that's orcha gadok that you normally wash, you don't have to worry if it gets a little bit in on the edge. You'll just wash it off. So, lemaisa, you can still use it for salting meat even though it became treif if you poke holes in it. No, that's taka not going to be a problem, because this isn't considered dam end. This is dam she yotzal de malicha, and dam she yotzal de malicha will not come in through malicha. We'll see that chiluk dam that came out through malicha, even for another piece, won't come in through malicha. Okay, the ma'isa. There's just one last ha'ara here. The Taz, the Sifkat Mem Aleph, has an interesting discussion. We know there's no malicha. Malicha can't get taste out of a kli. Can kavush get taste out of a kli? Yes, but if you're kavish in a treif kli, it won't chew up your food because shachin taz against isser v'heter. By the time it gets kavish, it'll be no sin hamlet gam. What about kavush in salt, in brine, in sear. Remember, if it's kavush in salty liquid, then it only just the amount of time it takes to boil water, or to boil to boil the food, it will become kavush. How about the special rule of kavush melicha kambo? Right, this kavush melicha kambo. If it's soaking in salty liquid, like tzir, for example, will that get taste out of a kli? Like, let's say you have a treif kli, and it is, you have to figure out the nafgamina, but somehow, and it's eno manukav, and something, let's say it's not meat, whatever, it's just salting and has in all the salty water. Will that get the taste out of the kli? So that's actually a big machlokas. The Taz is of the opinion that just like malich won't get taste out of a kli, so to kavush in less than 24 hours in salty water won't get taste out of a kli. Taste won't come out till 24 hours. But the Shach and the Taz are making on that. However, the Achronim quote the Drishan among the Rambam. I'm not sure if it's a Machlokes Achronim,
but this really has more to do back with Simon Kopei. Kavush in 24 hours will get taste out of the kli, although it won't help.
Salting, dry salting, will not get taste out of the kli. What about soaking in salt water, which happens in 18 minutes or however long it takes to boil something up? Will that get taste out of the kli? Shach and Taz say no. But the Achronim here quote from the Rebbe Eger quotes from the Mem Gimel, the Magen Avraham Masim Ladrisha, that it will be mafsid the kli. Okay, just a hara. The problem doing malicha in a kli she'ena manuka is that the salty brine, the tzir, right, this mixture of liquid salt and dam will collect and your meat will be soaking in it. So it's a kli she'ena manuka, and that will reabsorb the dam back into your back into your meat.
What? Let's say it's less than 24 hours. I'm saying if it's less than 24 hours, it gets the time off of this. And if it's Aydin Malifa, we just said Malifa, the dam that's Yotze, Aydin Malifa, is not going to go in Aydin Malifa.
That is if it's not collected, if it's not soaking. We'll get to all these halachas. Well, we'll be viral all these. I know, I apologize. It's hard, but we'll be viral all these halachas properly within the next 2 days. Okay. Let's call it a day for now, and I'll take questions. Bye.